I'm glad to see y'all tonight. I'm glad that Zachary's able to come to the church tonight. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. I tell you, I love the spirit about him, and I love that the words he said and the smile on his face. You're such an encouragement. Sometimes I get discouraged in myself, and I love to see an attitude of thankfulness and gratitude. It encourages everyone around you. And it's amazing. It makes me want to grow in a lot of ways. Amen. You know, because you look at different people that you know that they're trusting in God and they're going through things, and you think, man, that inspires me. You know, I can do better. Amen. Hallelujah. If you would open up your Bibles to the Gospel of Luke chapter 14, and I tell you, the Lord is really, really challenging me, and He wants to challenge us. And, you know, we have a lot of churches that, you know, that are full, and they're in some cases they're full because, you know, it's a move of God, and in some cases they're full because it's easy. And, God's not going to let us be easy. I'm sorry. He's putting a challenge, and we're just going to have to really get down and be about the Master's business. Amen. You remember the message the Lord gave me for the new year about this year? We're going to have a great door open for us, but there's going to be a lot of distractions. And boy, I tell you, I don't know about you, but I have met a lot of distractions in these first 3+ months. And so, but God gave us the word ahead of time, amen, to help us stay focused. And so I just want to encourage you, you know, whatever you're going through, just don't let it take your eyes off of Jesus. Because He warned us ahead of time, and He said we was going to have success this year. So it doesn't matter what it looks like or feels like, it just matters what God said, amen. You know, as you talk to people, I'm sure you get the same thing. Everybody's got an excuse. I've never seen so many excuses for not coming to Jesus. I've never seen so many excuses not coming to church. I've never seen so many excuses for not getting out of your mess and getting into the answer. You know, you talk to them and they're worried about what to wear. Jesus don't care. He doesn't care. They said, well, do I need to wear this? Just dress. Dress decent. Nobody cares. Just come to the Lord. Amen? And you know, if they're not worried about that, they're worried about, well, what kind of music you got? You know, who cares? If it lifts up Jesus, it don't matter. You know what I mean? We gotta get our focus on the Lord. But anyway, this is really burning on my heart. Luke chapter 14. Now, this 14th chapter, 35 verses of great instruction from Jesus. We're going to look starting at verse 15. And here's what the Spirit of God spoke in my heart. Excuses stop progress. Excuses stop progress. You and I, we're all, tonight I believe I can safely say, we're all blood-bought. We're on our way to heaven. Amen? But our eyes and our heart, our mind has got to be on Jesus and moving forward. Amen? And He's tonight, He wants to encourage us to make sure that we do that. All right. Luke 14:15. Notice what it says. Jesus doesn't give two parables, and here He's starting again. And He says, and when one of them sat at meat with Him, with Jesus, heard these things, he said unto him, blessed is he that shall eat bread in the kingdom of God. So He opened up the door for Jesus to bring another teaching to him. Verse 16. Notice what Jesus says. Then said he unto him, a certain man made a great supper, and bade many. And he sent his servants at supper time to say unto them that were bidden, come, for all things are now ready. And they with all one consent begin to make excuse. The first said unto him, I have bought a piece of ground, and I must needs to go see it. I pray thee have me excused. And another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen. And I go to prove them. I pray thee, have me excused. And another said, I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come.
So the servant came and showed his lord these things, and the master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, "Go out quickly into the streets and the lanes of the cities, and bring in hither the poor and the maimed and the halt and the blind." And the servant said, "Lord, it is done as thou hast commanded, and yet there is room." And the Lord said unto the servant, "Go out into the highways and the hedges, and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. For I say unto you that none of those men which were bidden shall taste of my supper." Let's stop right there. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to be in your house. I thank you for every person that's here. I ask, Lord, that you just breathe on them a breath of refreshment, encourage them by your Holy Spirit. I thank you, Lord, for your presence in our lives. I thank you for the teaching anointing, Lord, for us to be able to receive instruction and to come up closer into your will and to your plan. Lord, I can't do anything on my own. I just make myself available to every person that's come here tonight to make themselves available to you, Lord, by the anointing. You bind us together and you grow us up into your perfect will, and we'll be quick to give you the praise for it. We ask you in the name of Jesus, and we all say, amen, amen and amen. Hallelujah. Write these three words down. Purpose, preference, and pressing. Purpose, preference, and pressing. Because in these verses we just read, we're going to talk about that you have a purpose. I've got a purpose, amen? And we got to make sure that we get involved in that purpose. But you also have a preference. You have a choice, in other words. You choose. I choose every day whom we're going to serve, amen? You've got to make the choice. But we've got to see in the last part of these scriptures that there is a pressing on the timeline of God. There is a pressing on the will of God and the plan of God. And God is in a hurry to get people saved. He's in a hurry for the very unction to come upon you to be able to bring truth to people. So that's what we're going to talk about. Now notice what he said here. He said in verse number 16 that a certain man made a great supper, and he called many. And he sent his servant at supper time to say unto them that were bidden, them that were called, "Come, for all things are now ready." Now, I love this word where it says come. This is a double action word in the Greek. And it means come coming. It means come quickly. And it means as you are coming, you come with expectation that you're going to keep receiving over and over and over. Every time you and I come to the Lord. And so tonight we all want to go to heaven. And we have our names written down if we believed in Jesus. And we know where we're going. But there's a lot of people who want to talk about heaven, but they don't want to talk about Jesus. You're not going to have heaven without Jesus. Amen? We're not going to have forgiveness without the Lord. We've got to have Jesus. And a lot of people want to talk about church, and they want to talk about programs, and they want to talk about different things that they're doing in the church. And all those things are fine and good, but if it's not under Jesus Christ and salvation, then we've got a problem. We've got things out of order. We've got to keep Jesus focused in our hearts. Amen? And so here Jesus is giving this parable, and he's talking about Israel. First and foremost, they were called first. But because they rejected the plan of God, the Gentiles were brought in. Amen? They were brought into the plan and the will of God. And so here tonight, as we look at these calls on people's lives, we've got to be in the place where we're willing to say yes to Jesus and not make excuses. You and I, we've got to see that Jesus called us, he saved us to do something. And it's not just, I used to think if I went to church, boy, I'd done what I was supposed to do. And that was okay because I was a baby. Amen? And I stayed a baby for a long time. But there comes a time when you and I have got to grow up. So let's look at this. Notice what Jesus, he called them, and he said in verse number 18 that they with all one consent begin to make excuse. And that word begin, it means that they rehearse this over and over. Don't you love it when you know that God has either led you to call somebody or he's made a divine appointment and you start talking to them about Jesus or you start talking to them about church and you know they've done rehearsed this. They've done had this conversation in their mind months ahead of time. If they meet a church person, a Christian, they meet somebody that's good, they've done got it all set. Well, I've been doing this. We've been having this problem in the family. We've been having this situation. They've got it all laid out where then you turn around and you feel bad
for even challenging them or asking them to come. Amen? And that's the ploy of the enemy. And here, we've got to recognize that these excuses, they will hinder you and I if we allow people to discourage us. That you may, 99 people in a row may tell you no. But what about that one? What about that one that says, yeah, I want to come and meet this Jesus that you're talking about. I want to come to the house of God. I want to come and be a part. And all of a sudden, that one person may be the whole reason that you were in that situation at that moment of time. Amen? But excuses will stop progress. Tonight, you and I, we've got to be willing to tell the Lord, Lord, I'll do whatever you ask me to do. If we don't do that, we're fooling ourselves. Jesus, he said that we called him, named him Lord. That means he has the last say, amen? And so here, these here, they had some excuses, and they said to him, they began to make excuse. The first one said, I bought a piece of ground. You know this story very well. And I must needs go and see it. I pray thee have me excused. And the other one talks about the 5 yoke of oxen and all of this. And the other one talks about being married. But don't you find it strange that this is supper time? This is evening. This is night time. And they're talking about going and looking at land. They're talking about going and trying out these yoke of oxen at night. Come on. Jesus uses this to show us how silly people's excuses are going to be. So you and I, we got to be in the place where we see what's happening and we recognize what's going on. He said, look what he said, I pray thee, the first one said in verse 18, I pray thee have me excused. And in verse 19, the next one said, I pray thee have me excused. And verse 20, the other one just said, hey, I've married a wife, I can't come. I don't care if you excuse me or not. You know what I mean? Come on, so we see the progression here. And that's the way it's going to be in your life and my life when we go and we try to get the people to come in. You're going to meet all kinds of excuses. But tonight, you get built up and you get prepared where those excuses don't hinder you. They don't limit you. They don't discourage you. But also, you check yourself. I check myself by the Holy Spirit. Examine yourself to see whether you be of the faith. Amen? The faith will cause you to move. The faith will cause me to move. If we're not operating in that, we need to take a look. Now, notice what he said. He said in verse number 19 again, that one says, I pray thee have me excused. And the second time for emphasis, I pray. I want you to just, Lord, just excuse me on this situation. How many times have we all done that? The Lord has asked us to do something. We say, well, they can sing better than I can. They can witness better than I can. They can do this better than I can. Lord, just excuse me. I'm going to let somebody else do it. What if Jesus had sat down? Could nobody else save you? Could nobody else save me but him? Amen? He was the Lamb of God, the sinless Son of God, and it took his blood to buy you and I back. And so we can't sit down. We've got to be about our master's business. We've got to say, Lord, what would you have me to do, and how would you have me to do it? Because you've got a purpose tonight. Your purpose is, yes, you're going to heaven, but your purpose is to know what God is wanting to say to you continually. Look, 1 Corinthians 1:9. 1 Corinthians 1:9. Look here, this is your purpose. This is your reason for being alive. 1 Corinthians 1:9, look what the Word says. Mark this down in your Bible where you'll have it. God is faithful, by whom ye were called. Glory. You are the called of God. That word called, it means you've been named. God Almighty named you in the family of God. He named you in the family of God, and he put a ministry in your life. Amen? Now notice your purpose here. God is faithful, by whom you were called. What were you called unto? The fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. That's your whole purpose. Your whole reason for being here, because God wanted somebody like you. Come on now, hallelujah. A lot of people don't like me, but Jesus does. Come on now. A lot of people don't want to be around me. Have you ever been walking down Walmart and all of a sudden somebody sees you and they turn and go the other way? Jesus will never do that. Amen? He'll come right to where you're at with open arms. He wants to be with you more than he wants to be with anybody else. Amen? And so your purpose tonight, my purpose tonight, is to get into the arms of God by his Son Jesus and say, Lord, I've been called into fellowship with you. What are you wanting to impart into me to do in the earth? What are you wanting me to take care of? What are you wanting me to handle? What are you wanting me to accomplish? Oh, my goodness. Brother Larry said it so well Sunday night. But my God shall supply. Amen? Come on. He was quoting the Apostle Paul in Philippians 4:19. You've got to believe that whatever you need to do what God's called you in the fellowship to do, God will supply it. Amen? You say, I don't have enough knowledge. You just look up into heaven, you raise your hands. But my God, He shall give me the knowledge. My God will give me the wisdom. My God will give me the time. My God will give me the energy. My God will give me the opportunity. Amen? You just tell God that you believe that. And you speak that word out into the whole world, and it frames your world according to the fellowship of God. I got a purpose. Let's go back to Genesis. Genesis chapter 3, verse number 8. Look at Adam and Eve. God wanted fellowship with them in the garden because He had something for them to do. But look what it says. Genesis 3:8. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord amongst the trees of the garden. But I want you to just concentrate on this one part. Mark this down in your Bible. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the cool of the day. Now this walking is a Hebrew word, halek. And it means to do something over and over and over. In other words, from the time that they were created until this moment, God habitually, every day, walked to them. Hallelujah! Because they were created for fellowship with Him. So when they heard Him walking, they knew that He was coming to love on them and them love on Him. But see, sin had brought separation, and so they hid themselves. Tonight, you and I need to be so sensitive to the fact that God's hurting. He's hurting because there's somebody not sitting beside you tonight because they're hiding themselves from God. Why are they hiding themselves? Because somewhere along the way, the little g god of this world has blinded them. And they have tripped up in sin like we all have. And the devil's told them how sorry they are, how incomplete they are, how unworthy they are. And all that's true without Jesus. But with Jesus, they're worth everything. Amen? Glory! And so you and I have got to tell them, listen, you've got a purpose. You don't need to be dealing with excuses. You need to be dealing with your purpose. God wants to fellowship with you. He wants to talk to you. He's got a job. He had a job for Adam and Eve to do that nobody else could do. He's got a job for you and I tonight. Go with me to the book of Job. Job chapter 7. Look at this. Now, you've got to get excited about this. Job chapter 7, verse 17. Job chapter 7, verse 17 and 18. He says, what is man, talking about to God, that thou shouldest magnify him? What is man? What's mankind? No gender intended. Man, woman. What is man and woman that thou shouldest magnify him or her, and that thou should set thy heart upon him or her? God's heart is set upon you. Now that's what we've got to go out in the world and tell people that's making excuses. See, they'll tell you, well, I just don't have time to come to church. I don't have time to pray. I don't have time to read my Bible. I don't have time for none of that because you don't understand. I've got to do this job. I've got to make this amount of money. I've got to be in this place at this time. All of these things. But you've got a message that will dissolve that excuse. The message is, God's heart is set upon you. See, that takes all the pressure off of them. See, the devil is putting so many people, so many marriages, so many relationships. He's putting them under so much pressure because he's trying to squash them. He's trying to get them in a place where they think, I've got to do this. I've got to do that. I've got to do this. I've got to do this. I'm running to and fro. But when you look at them and you answer their excuse with the truth that God himself has set his heart upon them. And look at verse 18. You tell them, and that thou shouldest, this is what God does. God visits him or her, mankind, every morning and tries him or her, mankind, every moment. And God, he visits every morning. This word visit means, it's palak, and it means to oversee, to care for. God is caring for you every morning. But the word morning here, it's a Hebraism. It means day by day, continually, in other words. Your God, His heart's set upon you, and He's going to take care of you every day. So when you start to witness, you start to encourage people to try to put God first, and they start laying out all of these excuses before you, you can tell them, listen, Jesus Christ Himself said, seek me first. Seek God in the kingdom. Come on, Matthew 6:33. Seek me in the kingdom of God. Seek that first. And He said, what? Everything that you have need of. Food, clothes, shelter, provision, protection. I'll give it to you. So we take all the pressure off of them. Because the devil has convinced them that they've got to do all of these things to make it. And all they've got to do is seek God. God wants to bless them. He wants to take care of them. And when you tell them that He's not trying to send them to hell, His heart's on them. If somebody would have told me that, it would have changed my whole mindset at a young age. I was convinced that God was mean. I was convinced that because here is all of these things that's wrong. Nobody tells me why they're wrong, but they're wrong. And it looks like there's no fun in the world. Come on. But all of a sudden, you and I, we found what fun is. When we found Jesus, amen? We found fulfillment. We found peace. We found joy that is internal, amen? It's lasting. And that's something we can tell people about. Glory. So the whole purpose that will dissolve every excuse is the reality how much God loves people. And that he's looking to put His everlasting love. God loves them. He loves you and I with an everlasting love. Amen? Nothing can separate us from the love of God, the Apostle Paul said in Romans 8. No, all of those different things he lists, they can't separate you from the love of God. Amen? And that's the truth. And that's what we've got to get in people's heart. Okay, go back to Luke. Let's look at it. It's up to you. You've got a preference. You got a choice. Now, notice what they said once again in verses 17 and 18, 17 through 18 and 19 and 20. And He sent His servants at supper time, and He said to them that were bidden, that were called, come, for all these things are now ready. God's got a supper ready right now. Everybody's talking about heaven. Thank God for heaven, but He wants you to have what He promised in heaven now. Amen? It's now ready. And they, with all one consent, begin to make excuse. The first one said unto him, I bought a piece of ground, and I must needs go and see it. I pray thee, have me excused. Another said, I bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I go to prove them. I pray thee, have me excused. Another said, I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. Now, see, all of these excuses are trying to make our own way. Business, merchandise. Jesus said to occupy till He comes. But that occupy means to be busy about what He's called you to do, what He's called me to do. Amen? And if we'll be occupied in that and we choose the right thing, all of a sudden we start changing. We start growing. See, we talked about it here a while back about how the Word wants to be fruitful in your life, but we can choke that Word out if we're not careful. And so, if you and I will choose what is good, look what happens to us. Go to Ephesians chapter 4. When we choose fellowship. See, they were choosing not to fellowship with God. But when you and I choose fellowship, look what happens. Ephesians chapter 4, for sake of time, let's read verse 12. And then 15 and 16. Ephesians 4:12. Look, he's talking about what the Word of God delivered to you and I, what it does. In verse number 12, it says, for the perfecting of the saints. The Word of God will go through to you and I, and it will perfect the saints. That means it will mature you and I. It will grow us up. It will provide in your life what you need to be successful, to be satisfied, and to be striving to enter in the straight gate. Amen? And at the straight gate, there's a place that you enter into Jesus that all these things are met in your life and my life. Amen? But you've got to hear the Word. You've got to choose fellowship. When you fellowship with Jesus, that's your call. Remember 1 Corinthians 1:9. But when you choose that fellowship, He said that the Word would go unto you, because that's what this fourth chapter is about, and it would cause you and I to be perfected. It would cause us to be edified. Look, for the edifying of the body of Christ. That edifying means that you get built up together. Strong. where there's a three-strand cord, it's not easily broken. Amen? You and I, we need to be, two is better than one, but three is stronger than two. Amen? We need to be in that place. Now, okay, drop down to verse 15. He said, but speaking the truth, that's what the Word of God is. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, John 14:6. But speaking the truth in love may grow up into Him. When you and I choose fellowship and when we help other people get out of excuses, they will come and they will hear the Word of God and they will what? The truth will cause them to grow up. But think about how much you've changed since you started taking in the Word of God. You started growing up, amen? But speaking the truth in love may grow up unto Him. And all things, which is the head, even Christ. You are growing up in Jesus, but you're growing up for Jesus. When you, your preference, when your choice is, I choose fellowship, and you get away from the excuses, and you help people see that, you have them say, get your eyes off of man. They'll look to man, and they'll say, well, I'm not like this person, so I can't do it. I can't live it. I can't be a part of that. And you've got to tell them, that's a lie of the devil. God's going to grow you up moment by moment, minute by minute. And you're perfect in His eyes. Just because you don't do what somebody else does, just because you don't know what somebody else knows, thank God I don't got to know what so-and-so knows. I just got to be faithful in what I know. Amen? Now notice what He says that will happen. Verse 16. From whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted that by that which every joint supplieth according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. That's a lot of words to say this. You tell them when they offer an excuse, tell them you will never be, that you and I, the people in the church, will never be everything God had for us until you come in. That's what it's saying. See, when I fellowship with you, you fellowship with me, and we are together, all of a sudden, the revelation of Jesus in your life, the victory in your life, the anointing in your life, the Word in your life, it comes out of your life and it comes into me. And so the devil is trying to keep certain people out of the church because they've got so much to give. Zachary, you've got so much to give. You've got a loving heart and you've got a confidence in a God that you know that can do the impossible. Amen? Hallelujah. That's what we need to do. We need to be around each other, but we need to be around these people who don't know. They're operating in excuses. They don't know. But when we get around them, we can say, Lord, use me to impart something in them. Come on, when we start honoring and respecting those people around us, guess what? All of a sudden, what they have then will start coming in your life. How many times have you been in a situation where you didn't understand the situation? And you thought, Lord, what is this all about? You know, nine times out of ten, the Lord said to me, I was trying to help you, boy. You thought this was about them. It wasn't about them. It was about, amen? Oh, God's good. Amen? He's good. We help each other. So our preference is that we choose this fellowship. We choose our purpose. And when we choose our purpose, then we get into a place where we recognize where we're at right now. The pressing timing of God. Go back with me to Luke. Now, this is the most important part of this for you and I being in the church. It's not for those who are lost and undone. But notice what he said. I want to reread verse 17. Mark this down. There's three callings. And you and I, we're in the third calling. The Lord is getting ready to come. Amen? The first calling was, of course, to Israel. Look what it said in verse 17. And he sent his servants at supper time to say unto them that were bidden, they were God's chosen people, come, for all things are now ready. Now drop down to verse 21. So that servant came, because of the others didn't want what God had for him, they made excuses. So that servant came and showed his Lord these things. Then the master of the house, being angry, said to his servants, or to his servant, go out quickly into the streets and the lanes of the city and bring in, now mark that down, bring in hither the poor and the maimed and the halt and the blind. That's the call to these four groups of people that other people are not even looking at. Come on, some churches, all they want is the businessman. All they want is the person with the money. All they want is the person with the influence. Come on. Jesus said, that's what this whole 14th chapter is about. It's about the love of God. It's about us being humble and seeing our worth in Jesus, not in ourselves. Amen. If you read this whole chapter, these 35 verses, and getting in that place where we get excuses just rolled under because we see the urgency. Notice he said, first of all, just go and call them. But here in verse 21, he says, go and bring them in. Come on, you see how it's escalating? Now drop down to verse 23. And the Lord said unto the servant, go out into the highways, the very progress of life, and go into the hedges, phragmos in the Greek. Go into the hedges and what? Compel them to come in that my house may be filled. What's your purpose? What do you have to choose tonight? We've got to choose the will and the work of God. That God said, do what's necessary. When he said, compel them to come in that my house may be filled, he said, do what's necessary. Come on, the whole world has told us, shh, just calm down. Don't get in a hurry. Don't offend anybody. God is in a hurry. He's in a hurry about getting Jesus exalted before a group of people, because every day, every second, you can look at your watch, you got people dying and going into the place of judgment. Either blessed or cursed. Either saved or lost. Amen? And so God is urgent about this. Yes, God's got things under control. I'm not saying he's schizophrenic, but he is urgent about you and I being about God's business. Amen? And so he's noticed the increase in the call. And so this is what I told you about this month of April. There's so many demonic distractions going on, but this is a month of opportunity. I challenge you to really get busy and see the urgency. God said, do what's necessary. If you will go beyond the normal. Jesus is the one who taught us, hey, I don't want you just to go 1 mile. I want you to go the extra mile. Why? Because he did. He'll never ask us to do something that he didn't do. And because he done it first, that seed is in you and I. It's in everybody who's believed, amen? The seed to go the extra mile. The seed to do the impossible, amen? And so I want you to get an urgency in your heart. I want an urgency in my heart tonight to see what he said. He said, I want my house filled. That's the heart of the Father. He wants you and I to be in a place where we can see the house of God filled. See, the devil's going around now just bringing so much discouragement. Because you've got people who are believing, people who are operating in the gifts and the calling that God's gave them. The number looks like it's going down. But Jesus said, I'm coming after a church. Come on, they're on fire. They're washed. And they're hungry. I don't care what the world says. The church of Jesus, that's who we are. Church of the living God. We're going to be about his business and we're going to see the impossible come to pass. Amen? All right. Now, y'all's getting bored of me. Just a couple more verses. John chapter 8, you can quote these verses. I can quote them. We wouldn't even have to turn there, but I want to lay eyes on them. Because in John chapter 8, we've got to see something about being a disciple. See, we think if we just go to church, that everything's okay. But God wants you and I to become a disciple in Jesus. And if we don't become a disciple in Jesus, we're fooling ourselves. And we're fooling people around us. That's why there's such a blur right now. Why people can't tell the difference between some churches and the world. But you, people get around you, they can tell the difference. Because the light's in you, the love's in you. Amen? And here's why. Look at verse number 30, John 8 and 30. And as he spake these words, talking about Jesus, many believed on him. Now Jesus, he never missed an opportunity to teach. Look what he said. Then Jesus, verse 31, said unto those Jews which believed on him, ye continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. It's not just enough to believe. How many times you talk to people and you ask them, do you believe? Oh, I believe. I believe there's a God. I believe that there's a God out there. And you might even get some people to say, yeah, I believe there's a Jesus. That's not enough. That's not enough. Hell is going to be full of people who believed. But they didn't believe enough to get out of their excuses. They didn't believe enough to fellowship to God and get into their purpose. They didn't believe enough to choose the things of God rather than the things of themselves and the things of the world. They didn't believe enough to see the pressing that God says, I want you to be about my business because it's over. Time is winding down. Amen? And so we've got to see this. He said, look what he promised. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Tonight, if I'm not freer tonight than I was when Brother Larry was preaching Sunday night, something's wrong. It's not God's fault. Right here, it's my fault. Because he said if I would continue, the word continue is meno. And it means to abide. It means to live. If I will live in the word that Jesus speaks to me every time that he talks to me, whether it's in a corporate setting like this, or whether it's in a private session on my bed, or in my recliner, or wherever it might be, if I'll just say yes to him and continue to live by that word, that fresh manna every morning, he said, I'd be made more free and more free and more free. Now listen, we've got to believe it. There's going to be people that comes into this church. They're going to be bound up with sin. They're going to be bound up with all sorts of addictions and all sorts of mindsets and ideals. They're going to be blinded by the God of this world, little g. And it's you and I to be in the place to give them the word that will cause them to be made free. That's Jesus, amen? But we can't do it if we're sitting here struggling in our own sin because we don't know who we are. You and I, we don't struggle with sin anymore. We fight the good fight of faith. Jesus done took care of all of it for us. Amen? Now y'all pray for me because this will be bad tomorrow. Come on now. We got to get real. When you teach the Word of God, when you preach the Word of God, when you witness the Word of God, the devil don't like it. Amen? He'll bring everything against you to try to make you back up on what God said. But you didn't say it. God did. Amen? I want to close with Acts 17:32. Paul had been preaching, and he gave them his whole heart about the resurrection. And that's the way it is. When you and I, they'll want to talk to you about finances. They'll want to talk to you about blessing, about healing, and all this stuff. But when you try to talk to them about being born again, that's when they turn their head. Look what Paul said in the last part of the verse. Well, let's just read it. And when they heard of the resurrection of the dead, some mocked. We can't help that. We got a message to tell, amen? And others said, we will hear thee again of this matter. They don't know if they're going to have another opportunity. They don't know. And we don't know if we're going to have another opportunity to give it to them. So, Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ, let us see that we're in this third call. Father, in the name of Jesus, let us see the urgency that you have to see your house filled with those people who have plenty of opportunity for excuse, but you have gave them Jesus where every excuse can be rolled away. Every limitation can be rolled away. Father, burn this in our heart. Let us see that there's people that are in hospitals, they're in nursing homes, they're in jails, they're in all sorts of different hells that the devil has orchestrated. But you, Jesus, are the one who can bring them out with victory, with freedom, with everything that you destined for them. But they've got to hear the gospel. You said, how can they hear unless a group of people preaches it, lives it? Father, I ask you in the name of Jesus, you see this group of people that have come out tonight on a Wednesday night because they want to fellowship with you, Father. They want to hear your word. Burn it down deep in our heart, Father, and help us move forward about your business. Let us be used by you to dissolve every excuse. We ask you, Father, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Would you come tonight? Would you come tonight and make yourself an altar and say, Lord, help me. Help me to be about your business. Help me to see that my purpose is to fellowship with you. Everything else is secondary. And when I put you first, every limitation, every lack will be gone. And let me see that when I choose you and I choose that fellowship, that all of my needs are met, and now I can be about truly what my purpose is. That's causing people to hear the call of God. Father, let us look over and let us see your glory. Let us be so excited about heaven that we help people shun hell. Let it be, Father. Touch and draw right now. I ask you in Jesus' name. Would you come? Come on, come and say, Lord, I want you to put this in me. If you don't have an urgency tonight, come and let His anointing come on you. Sister Apple said the anointing came on her the other night and instilled and inspired her to go forward in what God's called her to do. God wants to put that in every one of us. If there's any doubt in your life, come. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, there's great things fixing to open up. This is an exciting time to live. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.